Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Game three, round one. First home game of this best of seven series tonight at Capital One Arena. I'm sure many of you are in your cars on your way downtown for the game. Maybe you are already in D.C. getting ready to get some food before the puck drops a couple hours from now. Listening on the Odyssey app. However you're checking us out, thank you for doing so. Alongside Danny Ruye, I'm Grant Paulson. This is The Fan. Let's go caller 10 right now at 800-636-1067. Tremendous prize. You're winning a pair of tickets. First round cup playoff game, Sunday, April 28th. That's this Sunday at Capital One Arena. Limited tickets are on sale right now, but the game is nearly sold out, so you'll want to get your hands on those if you're going to buy them. Tickets and more event information, any details you need, thefandc.com. Congrats to caller 10 who's winning those tickets right now. Danny, you've been to many Caps playoff games at home, I would imagine.
Absolutely.
Is there a better atmosphere in D.C. sports?
Not better. There have been moments at Nats Park, certainly, that have rivaled.
The wild card night against the Brewers, maybe. I don't remember a single moment otherwise that was on that level. Maybe when they got up, like, I think, didn't they score seven runs in the first inning?
In game four.
In the clincher in the NLCS for that
was
the sweep.
That, you know what, crazy.
That was bananas, too.
Worth's bomb against the Cardinals in game four. That instantaneous moment of pandemonium.
I'm just thinking of the 19 run.
Oh, sure.
You know what? Because the World Series games went badly, they lost all three of them. Maybe they had a minimal lead at some point. I don't even remember that.
I don't think they led.
I think the peak of the noise or the juice, the excitement,
was Brewers.
It was that Brewers. It was right after Soto. Everyone's throwing their beer in the whole outfield section to slip and slide. That was crazy.
That's as insane as it's ever been. But here's the point. We can pick those out easily. I'll take Landover, Maryland against the Islanders, against the Rangers, against the Penguins, against the Flyers. Decades ago in a different building. I'll put anything up at current Cap One Arena against the We Are Louder series against these same Rangers years ago, which was phenomenal. So much fun. It is an unparalleled experience.
So good. I was working with Bruce Boudreau on the Altcast recently, the coach of the Caps at the time of that We Are Louder series. And that actually happened because of an interview he had done on the radio locally here. And I'm trying to think of how it was working. You know what it was? It was a national radio interview, I think, on maybe SiriusXM NHL or something, ESPN Radio. But they had asked him about, like, hey, where is it louder, Madison Square Garden or Capital One Arena? And he was like, as he told me, he's like, the hell am I supposed to say? You know, he's like, not that he thought it was louder in New York, but his point is I'm the coach of the Caps. Like, we're rallying our fans for the postseason. I was like, yo, it's definitely louder in our building. You know, they can't keep up with us, whatever. And that comment is what led to that whole thing. It was just kind of a weird question in an interview where he gave an answer trying to rally the troops. But for people that don't remember, it was a great back and forth in that series. That is a really loud building.
It certainly is.
And I've been watching it for the Knicks, too.
I can't explain why it's that loud. Now, A, it's rabid fans for both sports, by the way, for Rangers and for the Knicks. But there's something about that building. Haven't gone to a couple games there myself where it's just kind of the way the things hang and the way that echoes. I don't know if it was good engineering or just blind luck, but I'm telling you, noise resonates in that place.
It would have to be engineering, right?
I mean, it's old. Who knows if they knew what they were doing when they first built it? You know, they're like, the sound will echo. Will it, Dave? I have no idea.
You know, I've heard that the stadium in Seattle can be loud.
Yeah.
In football, I've heard the 12s can be loud. Have you ever heard that?
Do you know about the 12s?
I don't know if that's true or not.
Are you aware of the 12s?
As a 12?
As a 12?
Best available players for the second round tonight. The Commanders have pick 36, fourth pick of the round. And then they pick again six picks after that at pick 40. I guess that wouldn't be six picks after that. Bad math.
Mm. You got this one.
40 minus 36. That's four picks later.
That's four.
Top players available. For me, number one is A.D. Mitchell, the wide receiver from Texas. I don't know how much you guys have seen of this guy. I really, really like A.D. Mitchell. He is a late first-round graded player, I think, for most people. There was certainly a chance he was going to go in the second round. I also love him in Washington's receiving room. He's big, Danny. He's 6'2". He's 205 pounds, and he runs a 4.34 40.
Is that something you're interested in?
Basically, like McLaurin at his fastest, but 6'2", adding some size to the room. I got to tell you, man, and I think he'll be long gone before 40. I think he'll be gone before 36 as well. But you can absolutely make the case that he's the best receiver in the country coming into this draft class outside of the big three that went in the top 10. That's Harrison, Neighbors, Odunze. But if he's sitting there at 36, and I'm going to go through Ladd McConkey in a moment, who I could say some of these same things about, I would have a really hard time passing on A.D. Mitchell. His name is Adonai. It's A-D-O-N-A-I. Adonai. But he goes by A.D. 6'2". 205, third-year junior, Texas native, 21 years old. Love this player.
I would use A.D. Mitchell and his speed to sprint up to the podium to select A.D. Mitchell if he's on the board at 36. To me, he's a first-round receiver in any other year. It just doesn't happen to be the right year. He's so fast, and he's bigger, so it's not one of those give-me-a-minute to get up to full speed fast. He is explosive as all hell off the line. I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to pretend to be a scout and grade all, you know, his entire route tree or give you a reception perception or anything like that. But to me, this is one of those dudes that if he gets up to full speed, you are not catching him. Period. End of story. Like, run him deep a couple times as a decoy, get, you know, a couple hitches, a couple short things. Maybe you can turn him into big things. I think this dude has a great chance to be awesome. George Pickens kind of comp for me, the current Steelers wide receiver.
You don't know why I think that Danny would be a mark for A.D. Mitchell. Do you know what his father's career is or was?
No.
Stand-up comedian.
Come on.
His dad was a stand-up comedian and an actor.
What's his dad's name?
His dad's name is Norman Mitchell. He doesn't do it anymore.
Norman Mitchell.
I don't know if he made it. I'm guessing he didn't make it big, probably. Norman. He actually moved to Houston right around 2000 to found the Be Busy Wellness Center, a nonprofit organization geared towards low-income individuals and families.
So this is my first Google for Norman Mitchell was the English television stage and film actor that died in 2001. That's not our guy here.
Yeah, I got my nuggets from The Beast from Dane Brugler at The
That's
Athletic.
A different one.
His mom's a former model, and his dad's a former stand-up comedian.
Whoa.
But anyway, I'm such an A.D. Mitchell guy. This year, 93 for 1405 and 18 touchdowns with just seven drops for him this football season. So, love the player. While we're at wide receiver, before we move on, I'm not saying necessarily this is number two on the board, but he's up there. Ladd McConkey from Georgia. You can't tell me you wouldn't be a little steamed up for Ladd McConkey to go to Washington at 40 tonight after seeing the year he had. 119 catches, I think, for 1,687 yards in his college career. 14 touchdowns. He battled injuries. This past year, he went 30 for 478 and 2 with just one start. Was a team captain, missed five games with back and ankle injuries, but he's super quick. He gets praised for his release off the ball, get up to top speed faster than most guys, and an exceptional route runner. Where are you at on Ladd McConkey?
So he was a sub 4.4 guy, and I thought he would be, you know, closer to, I'm blanking on the guy's name, Hunter from the Vegas Raiders.
Renfro,
thank you. I was conflating him with
Why
the baseball player.
Why are you comparing him to Hunter Renfro?
The baseball player. Well, because he's a slot, like Renfro's a slot guy.
High motor.
Quicker motor, more than fast. McConkey ran a 4.39. A 4.39. So this isn't just gimmicky, you know, 4-yard glorified tight end, but split out as a slot receiver. I think this is an NFL wide receiver who can line up anywhere.
You think he's sneaky athletic? Is that what
I know? What you're trying to do, and I'm not taking the bait. There's chum in the water, but I ain't hungry.
Well, you're the one comparing him to. I just want to know why you picked that comparison.
I picked a limited slot receiver that a lot of people initially said
like Cole Beasley,
McConkey. Fine, that's another one. You could pick another one. Who's here? DeAndre Carter a couple years ago,
that's
right?
Good. I like
who ran
that one.
Who ran punts back, but they're just a slot receiver. No. I don't think that's what McConkey is.
McConkey's also way bigger than some of the guys. Mm-hmm. Not that he's huge, but he's
6 foot,
right around 6 foot and 190. He's pretty well put together. Not really a little guy. But those are the two top wide receivers. I would say those are the two receivers I'm really interested in, if we're being honest, at 36 or 40. Now, there is a guy that a lot of people like. And Keon Coleman from Florida State, here's what I
He's
would
huge.
Be intrigued by. 6'3", 215. The size, right? He's only 20 as well, which is, I think, a pretty appealing element to him. Keon Coleman, 50 for 658 this year. First team All-ACC, led team in receiving, missed a game with an injury, missed the bowl game, opted out. But he played at Florida State for his college career, 115 for 1,500, 19 touchdowns. 11 of them came this season. He's another guy that could be on their radar. I've got him just a little lower down than those other two. It's just, I don't know why.
And, well, it just depends on what you want to do, right?
It doesn't appeal to me the same exact way.
Yeah, like to me, he's, and it sounds like I'm knocking him, just the player type. He's like a poor man's Drake London, right? Ran a 4.6 and change at the combine.
Yes.
But doesn't have that Anquan Boldin, like physical bruising, run right through you type thing. But he
started at Michigan State, yeah. Transferred to Florida State, like bounced around a little bit. But
he's got
in
some
that
game.
Conversation.
Yeah, he's a bigger receiver. So that's something that Kingsbury and company are going, yeah, that actually fits what we want to do opposite McLaurin and opposite Dotson. I'm all for it.
All right, what about corner? We're looking at the best available players tonight for the Commanders. They're picking 36 and 40. We'll get into what you guys want to do in just a few. But cornerbacks that are still available. Cooper DeJean from Iowa was supposed to have been taken in the middle, or probably middle is bullish.
In the 20s.
Middle 20s, yeah. Late first round. Didn't happen. Kool-Aid McKinstry, not only the best name in this draft class, but also a longtime profile, just been famous for a while at Alabama, really high-end corner. The guy that I had a lot of people telling me about that I didn't know a lot about until a couple weeks ago, and as I was asking around, like sniffing around what the Commanders could do in the second round, was Ennis Rakestraw Jr. from Missouri. But those are the top cornerbacks, at least according to your consensus boards going into tonight.
So McKinstry is very intriguing to me for a couple different reasons. One, press corner, and I don't know if that's exactly what Witten company are going to want to do here, but that's sort of been his MO at Alabama. And number two, just to show you how athletic the guy is, he's a great punt returner in college. Whether he does that at the pro level or not, I don't care, but it just kind of gives you an idea. This isn't just long arm, jam him at the line, and then hope for the best. He's got some recovery. He's got some agility too.
I have to imagine, I don't know where you're at on this, like, when I think of Dan Quinn corner, I think of a big guy. I think of size, like, and I think it's just the Seahawks.
Legion of Boom will do that to you,
yeah. But there's been so much since then. There's been Atlanta where they didn't have big guys. Dallas, I mean, Diggs is not short, but he's also slender and long. He's not like a big physical Brandon Browner type defensive back or even a Richard Sherman, in my opinion, just thinking out loud. But for whatever reason, I've kind of been penciling in, like, bigger guys, like, Nate Wiggins long gone from Clemson, but that kind of a, you know, 6 foot one inch, you know, longer arms. I think he has like 31 inch arms. The guy with the length, though, is who you just said, McKinstry. 32 inch arms, about 5'11, 200. So he's got a really long wingspan. That appeals to me. Rakestraw, 5'11, 185, 32 inch arms. TJ Tampa is another name I'd throw out there. I think if you wait or if they move back, let's say like 36, they move back to 44 or something like mm-hmm. that. I could see them going with Iowa State's TJ Tampa, who's about just a little under 200 pounds, but 6 foot and has close to 33 inch arms, has that length, a little more of like a Benjamin St. Juste look to him, maybe.
Another name, Kamari Lassiter, kid from Georgia.
He's been linked to them in a lot of mocks. I've seen that.
I brought it up. Yeah, I've seen that a couple different times with that second round pick potentially. We didn't get much into DeGene, who's listed as a corner, but I mean, it varies what you read about him. He could play corner, but he can also kind of do everything else because he's a little bit bigger. I mean, he's listed as 6'1", 203, but looks bigger on the field and kind of lays wood a little bit, hits folks.
Yeah.
Plays some safety.
Official combine, I'm pulling it up now, 6', 202 pounds, so about right where you got him, 31-inch arms. Wingspan is not quite what some of the guys that we were just talking about, but close. 21 years old, but you're right. The calling card is the versatility. Play him inside, play him on the boundary, play him at safety. It's kind of the Quan Martin thing from last year.
Yep.
And I'm not sitting here telling you shouldn't do it because you have Quan Martin, because DeGene might be a much higher regarded player than Quan Martin, but that was the guy Sheehan mentioned today that he likes if they take a corner. I would have no problem with that. In fact, Field Yates, on his best available players list, he listed 10 guys, ESPN's draft expert coming into round two tonight. Field Yates listed my guy, A.D. Mitchell, the wide receiver from Texas, 1, and he's got Iowa corner, Cooper DeGene, 2, then Kool-Aid McKinstry, 3, and Edgerrin Cooper, who is a Texas A&M linebacker, 4th.
All about what you want to run, right? If your defense welcomes we need someone to line up, we would love someone to line up at 3 different positions on 3 different downs, then you're interested in Cooper DeGene. If you're like, I just need a corner, then that may not be the specialty corner, right? Then you may lean McKinstry or Rake Straw or somebody else.
Want to open up the phones right now. MGM National Harbor listener lines for you guys at 800-636-1067. That's 800-636-1067. Question being, you get to settle the debate and put the blueprint together for tonight. You're handing over notes for Peters, Newmark, the Harris ownership group as to what you want to see happen at 36 and at 40. If you want to be as detailed as giving us the players you would take, that's fine. But you could also just more generically go with positions. Would you be interested in trading back and adding more picks? They've got 4 more in the top 78 already. They've got 5 more in the top 100 already. But maybe you move back 5, 6, 7 spots because you feel like you could still get a decent corner. You could still get a receiver. And you could add another mid-round selection. What do you want to see done tonight? That is the question on Grant and Danny with you on the Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, I think with Cliff, what's great about Cliff is he can really mold the offense around anyone. You know, and that's what one of his, as Q says, superpowers, right? So he's going to build the offense around Jaden, and he's worked with a lot of athletic quarterbacks, so he knows how to do that. And there's some terminology carryover. I think just as you go anywhere, there's terminology carryover and concept carryover, and they've discussed a little bit of that. So they're already vibing, and it's going to be, it's going to be a really great marriage with him and really all of our offensive coaches, Brian and Tavita and Blau in that room. And so we're just ready to surround him and support him to be the best he can.
Adam Peters on how Jaden Daniels might be used. I'll tell you what, if Cliff Kingsbury can't get this thing figured out, maybe this ain't for him. You got Daniels, spread the field out with McLaurin, Jahan Dotson. I think they're going to add a wide receiver. May not be tonight at 36 or 40 or even in the third round, but inevitably they're going to bring in another weapon. You got Eckler out of the backfield. Tight end position still very much in need. One of my most, I would say, bold, italics, size 100 takes at this point that I need everyone to understand is you got to get a tight end. It's the position in the National Football League right now where you can get the most bang for your buck, and you're just missing out and you're not taking advantage of an undervalued asset if you don't do it. But with what they're starting to piece together, remember, they had a lot of options, and they said, Cliff Kingsbury, handpicked. This is our guy.
Mm-hmm.
Star. All right. You want to be a star? You better give me a star effort now. Herman Boone style. It's time, Cliff. I got you, Jaden Daniels. I got you a couple stud wideouts and more on the way. I got you Austin Eckler out of the backfield. I got your power running game. Let's score some points. Let's figure this out together.
Love it. And to me, we've already started on it, and we saw it with the draft, the way it played out last night. The first 14 picks were offensive players. I think everyone's caught on to the fact that if you don't have a great offense, you're wasting your damn time. My hope for this evening, Grant Harrison Paulson, is when they hand in that first card, offensive player of some kind. Call it a wide out. Maybe it's a tackle. I don't care if it's a bit of a reach. It helps you. That second-round pick, the second-rounder, only a handful of picks later, offensive player of a different variety. If you got a wide receiver the first time, get a tackle this time. If you got a wide receiver the first time, get a tackle the second time. If you got a tackle the first time, get a wide receiver. Maybe it's a tight end. Maybe you reach a little bit for Jatavion Sanders out of Texas. Maybe you do. Point is, you build the nest. You've invested in Jaden Daniels. He's your first and most important pick. You did everything. Now, you help him. You do everything you possibly can. Weapons on weapons on protections. That's what we're doing. We are fortifying and we are maximizing. We are fortifying and maximizing. Offense, offense, offense. And then once you get tired of offense, you do it again. Back to you.
Yeah, so for me, I'm all about adding weapons. The area where we've disagreed on this a bunch is the idea that you've got to draft offense to help Jaden Daniels. I think a tremendous cornerback probably improves this team more than anything else right now. And I'm not saying the corner they draft at the moment they call the name is expected to be some shutdown player. But in hindsight, looking back, if we find out that they just got a top 10 or 12 corner in football, the growth for the defense and in turn the team is probably louder this year than with an addition at any other position right now. That helps Jaden Daniels. You don't have to play as much hero ball. You don't have to score on every possession. You're not necessarily going out there chasing games, chasing deficits, being behind. So you can take a corner or an edge, and you can help him just as much. But clearly, you need a tackle, and you need guys that you can throw the football to. Look at what the Bears are doing with Caleb Williams.
Uh-huh.
To your point, like, come on. That is as good a situation as any QB's ever had. It's the opposite of the field situation a few years ago.
That's right.
Where now he's got Rome Odunze as his number three wide receiver. Rome Odunze.
That is what I'm talking about. I am envious of Chicago. Whether it works or not, that's a good plan.
Let's go to Jay in D.C. on Grant and Danny. Jay, what do you want to see tonight?
What's up, guys?
Hey,
shout out to Darius. He's the best. And you guys look great on YouTube, by the way.
Oh, you're sweet, Jay. Thanks, buddy.
You're a dog, baby.
I cannot. I agree with you, Danny. On offense, I just cannot pass on Cooper DeJean, man. Like, I mean, that of everyone left, he's the guy that looks like he's going to be a Pro Bowl player no matter where he plays. And I think he's more of a corner than Quan. Quan came on with you guys and said he was a safety. So I feel like Quan's a safety. I think Cooper's like, he can play that outside corner. But if he's gone, they're probably going to take Roger Rosengarten. But if we get Cooper, I would take Patrick Paul second and at 40. And then my wide receiver is Johnny Wilson, yo. Like you talking about 6'3", 6'4", being tall? Like, this dude is almost 6'7". He's smooth. That's been my crush for this whole draft. I want that super huge, tall wide receiver that nobody can cover. So
I like him a lot. That's not a 36 or 40 thing, though. So if his point is, and I get it, get your tackle, Rosengarten, at 36. Get your corner, Cooper DeGene, whatever order you can, at 40. And then let's get Johnny Wilson later. You have my attention, sir. He's not going, in my opinion, before the fourth round. I've seen plenty of places where they think he's going to go in the fifth. I don't believe that. He is 6'6 plus, 230 pounds. Johnny Wilson is. He is massive.
Cue the Kevin Hart. Damn.
I mean, you might think, I haven't seen that guy. I don't watch a lot of college football. If you watch Florida State, you notice him. They target him a ton, and he jumps off the screen.
So this would be the Danny Ruye plan. My last wide receiver would be someone like this who would also be on my field goal block team. Right in the middle. Run and jump as high as you can. Just a presence. Find me the 6'8 guy in the G League. Pay him to do that. Nobody ever thinks about it.
That is a wacky, my great uncle said that at a party one time. Take. But I mean, good on you.
Firmly believe it. It's a giant waste of opportunity if people don't do it.
I don't know if you know my great uncle Gene.
Gene does that?
Yeah, but he hasn't really watched football in 11 years. But the last time I was at a party at his house, it's been a few seasons now. He was like, why don't they draft a 9-foot-tall man and let him block kicks?
They don't make 9-foot-tall guys, Uncle Gene.
That was my rebuttal. But he's the same guy that thinks sumo wrestlers should be hired to be hockey goalies. And you just sit them right in the net, and they take up a bunch of the net so that they can just have the puck.
If you could find a guy that actually took up the net.
Yeah, have you seen the movie The Whale with Brendan Fraser?
No, I missed it.
Okay, so he plays this character who's massive.
Who's overweight, yeah.
Can't leave his house or whatever. Find the biggest person in America. I guess in the world.
Worldwide, yeah.
And then you could just put a sweater on him and have him sit right in front of the net. Why not?
Enough of this 6'1", 190-pound pliable guy wearing a lot of pads. No, but thank you.
That's the same level of idea. Why don't you just get Usain Bolt and have him run by everyone and throw him the ball? That kind of deal?
Track speed's different. But the dude that can jump really high would be a presence when people jump really high to try to block kicks.
Let's go to Zeke in D.C. What's up, Zeke? How are you?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, man.
All right. Yeah, listen, you guys, I agree with everything you said about protection and weapons. So I think protection is the most important of all.
Is that all you got? You good there?
I thought there was one more thing.
He had more gas.
I was sure of it. I didn't jump in.
Did he bail or was he done?
I think he was done.
Very succinct.
I think he was done.
There was a little noise in the background, and then I thought maybe something happened.
Dog, maybe?
Jump.
That's my fault. I was like, I'm sure there's something else to that. There wasn't.
But got a tweet in the 106.7. It's in our show chat.
Oh, okay.
But Dara sent it. And I guess it's just some random guy on Twitter. He goes, I'm so ecstatic over Jaden Daniels. I almost forgot Benjamin St. Juste is about to cover Malik Nabers. It's a good line. Football team, man. Jaden Daniels can go out and run around and make some plays. But you're going to have to defend guys. You're going to have to slow them down. C.D. Lamb, Malik Nabers.
Yeah.
A.J. Brown just got an extension. They've got Devontae Smith
and
as
Devontae
well.
And Devontae Smith, too, yeah.
In the division. Let's go to Joaquin in McLean. What's up, Joaquin?
Hey, Grant and Danny.
Hey, Bob.
I enjoy your show. I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller.
Hit it! Hooray! Hit it! Hooray! Hit it! Hooray!
I was calling in because I picked up right at 5 o'clock as I was leaving work, and you guys were talking mostly about the guys that are most exciting to you, best available. And then I was kind of waiting to hear, when the need would come up, because we have some holes that we need to fill.
Well, all of our best available guys, you'll notice, fit one of a few different criteria. we've got some puzzle pieces in mind here, dude.
We probably haven't talked enough about tackles. Thank you for the call.
Thanks, bud.
Joaquin's in McLean, home of the Highlanders.
That's right.
But Rosengarten, I think, is a name. Go back to my rookie of the year roots here. Rosengardner. Rosenblatt. He would just yell out whatever name he wanted to at any given moment. You've seen rookie of the year, right?
Is that the one Is that pitcher's got a big butt?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Wait, you got so the kids now that should be watching this. Have you not shown them this movie?
They can't sit for movies. Unless something transforms. Dude. Or there's a King Kong involved. They haven't
seen Mighty Ducks, Rookie of the Year, Sandlot, no. Little Giants.
No, no.
All the great childhood sports movies.
None of them. No interest.
Bad News Bears.
No.
That's absurd.
Zero.
Absolutely absurd. I'm blaming you, not them. You got to just force them to watch it.
Just sit them right down there.
Yeah, just hold them down if that's what it takes. Give them popcorn,
We've done some holding down and forcing. It's more like brush your teeth. We sort of use our forcing
that's
where
on you those. Pick your battles.
Yeah.
So a couple of names on the O-line that I think are of interest here. So we have talked about Roger Rosengarten out of Washington, 6'5", 308, starting right tackle. He's only a right tackle because that was the blind side of left-handed Michael Penix. So traditionally, you could kick him over to left, presumably, and he could play left tackle, and that's what Washington would draft him to do, I would think. You've heard a couple people mention Patrick Paul. This is the brother of Chris Paul, who's currently on the Commanders. Could be awkward, though, if you draft Patrick Paul. And then Chris Paul doesn't make the team. Patrick Paul is 6'7", 330 pounds. He is expected to go mid to late second, early third. But I don't think, you know, when you're in that range, if he went 37, it wouldn't surprise anybody. One other name, Kingsley Suamataya. Am I botching it?
Yeah.
I think it's Tia.
Suamataya.
I'm going to call him Kingsley.
Kingsley
Suamataia. We'll go with that. BYU, absolutely in the mix. 6'4", 325, could be a pick. If they go tackle, I would imagine it's one of those names that we just threw at you. Those are the top available tackles.
And after that, again, it's eye of the beholder. For example, Blake Fisher is pretty highly rated, but he's been a right tackle most of his career, right?
Am I off on this? I've kind of, like, all I thought about last night was tackle, 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 trade up, trade up, trade up, trade up, trade up. Now I'm kind of thinking, well, maybe they're going to get a veteran later.
Well, this was how we started the show.
My opinion last night carried over to today should just be 36 is a tackle. Which one is it? 36 is a tackle. And I don't really feel that way anymore. I think they should do that. Like, if it's not a tackle, I'll go, you sure? Although if it's Eddie Mitchell, I'll go, hell yeah.
I'm sure.
If it's Cooper DeJean, I'll go, let's do this thing, right? But what if they pick at 36 and 40 and they still don't have a tackle? You've now gone through months of free agency and you're through two rounds and they have not drafted a tackle and Cornelius Lucas is your starting left tackle.
I'll say this may be, again, I still assume that they've got a plan, and whether this is part A of the plan or B, or now we're on contingency C, that what they thought would happen didn't, I still think they've got something in the works, but it would be, I would say, their first miss, right? Where any time where he's your first option, talking about Lucas, is probably a miss.
Will we get to a point where you crush them for how they handled left tackle? Like, to me, if it's week one and Cornelius Lucas is your starter over Trent Scott, I think, is the backup or whatever, and, like, you have not added to that position in any meaningful way, I think that, even though we're doing the Adam Peters benefit of the doubt, I love the guy. I was calling for him in October before anyone knew who he was. I'm a big Peters guy. I think we got to call them that they botched it.
If we're in training camp, like it was right before training camp when they signed Leno a couple years ago and it didn't happen, and that's when it happened, by the way. If nothing happens, I'll kind of go, I don't think this was a great plan here. Now, again, somebody pointed out to me that Braden Daniels, before the draft last year, took a visit to San Francisco, and maybe they like him. Maybe they find something there. Okay. But to me, that's not cool with me.
I was at a couple training camp practices. I've seen him play, you know? Like, and I shouldn't say that's not nice. But, I mean, he could get a lot better quickly. But he probably is a guard. You kick him inside. Left tackle, that's not a real solution.
No, it's not to me. And that's my point, is I'll say, hey, this one I didn't see. I didn't understand. There were controllable things. And again, it takes two to tango. The name I've always used is Tyron Smith, who didn't sign for that match. I bet you if you beat Buffalo's offer by, the Jets' offer by $1 million for a one-year deal, he might have signed here. You know, especially with all the good vibes and Dan Quinn coming over. Who knows? Again, it takes two to tango. But I use him as the example of, I would have loved an anchor just so you don't feel pressured to do something if the draft plays out the way it frankly did last night.
20 minutes from now, we're giving away tickets. It's the Old Glory Rugby in D.C. A player called their shot A team said, no, I don't really think he knows what he's talking about. And then the player ended up being right. We'll explain on The Fan.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Odyssey celebrates Mother's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Draft. Eric Bickle was vindicated with Ian Rappaport. I'm hearing at his own report that was basically EB's report from months ago about Adam Peters, Brandon Ayuk, Jaden Daniels that EB got destroyed for. Vindication. I am certain now that I am. What a great song, by the way. Dashboard Confessionals. You remember that?
No.
You're looking at me like I'm crazy.
What is that one?
Vindicated by Dashboard Confessionals. Just one of the top 10 songs of my high school time.
That's real interesting.
We'll come back with it at 6 o'clock.
Okay.
Do that, Darius? Big fan of Vindicated by Dashboard Confessionals. But anyway, another person vindicated last night.
Okay.
Xavier Legette. He came out, said that the Panthers told him they would draft him. The Panthers downplayed it and were like, this guy?
We told that to lots of people.
He doesn't know what he's saying.
Wrong.
Dave Canales, the head coach, kind of threw him under the bus. And then they traded up a pick to get him. Here we go.
I'd have made with the Panthers about 4 or 5 times. The relationship, it just keep continuing to grow. And they really hoping that I can make it to that second round. And they keep on telling me, man, that if I'm sitting at 33, they're going to take me.
I saw the video of Leggett saying that he's met with you guys 4 or 5 times. And
yeah.
You guys have told him if he's there at 33, you're taking him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was, it was a great conversation. You know, I definitely said that to him and about 50 other guys, you know, like, man, so we take you at 33. It's actually a lead-in question. So when we draft you at 33, what happens now? And then there's a bunch of questions that happen after that, you know? So, part of the process.
The Buffalo Bills have traded the 32nd pick to the Carolina Panthers. With the 32nd pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Carolina Panthers select Xavier Legette, wide receiver, South Carolina.
They are of words, sir. Honest Dave.
When Xavier Legette says something, you believe him. He means business.
Boom.
What is he? He stands on business, I think, is what the kids say. No?
Yeah. Maybe.
Word is his bond.
Okay.
Dave Canales, I wouldn't trust.
Not as much, not as much, Mr. Dave Canales, with your handsome face.
Now, looking back,
yeah,
with the information we have, that basically they were like, dude, you can't tell everyone what we're doing. And they may not have said that to him, but Canales had to come out and act like, no. And maybe he downplayed it enough that nobody really bought it. But Xavier Legette was on it.
They moved up a pick. They had to make sure they got him, get that extra year.
TJ's in Bowie. TJ, Commanders have 36-40 in the first 10 selections of round 2 tonight. What do you want to see them do?
Real quick, at 36, got to be a tackle. No ifs, ands, buts about it. And then the other pick in the second round has to be best available player. And in the third round, you got to go tight end. And then real quick, can you please let the gentleman, Nick, I forget his name, from the Beltway Blitz.
Nick Ashew.
That he said, yeah,
Nick
said
Ackerman
no,
today.
Or Nick Akrich.
GFA.
Yeah, he said no NFL player has been successful at Jake Daniels' size, and I think he's forgetting all about Randall Cunningham, who only weighed like 212 pounds. At a time when the league was way more violent, the refs would never let Jaden Daniels go through what Randall Cunningham went through. So just wanted to throw that out there.
Maybe it's a different league. You're saying it was more violent, which is true, but players were not as fast. They weren't as big. They weren't as strong. They were able to do things that were dirtier and more reckless, I would say. But the athletes he's playing against now, when Randall Cunningham played, a defensive tackle probably weighed 268 pounds. Now he weighs 315 moves like a linebacker.
And here's the other part. I know what your point is. Like a guy with that size, that style of build, Cunningham, 6'3", 6'4", over 210. The point is that it's almost like a little bit of a loophole. Not a loophole, but semantics to say no one at that size to weight profile. Which Daniels is right now probably 15, 20 pounds lighter than Cunningham played at, right? Has been successful.
Well, but that's the other thing. Getting to point number two is Randall Cunningham was listed at 212, I think, when he started his career. Jaden Daniels gained over 10 pounds to step on a scale at his pro day and was 2 pounds under what Randall Cunningham was. Jaden Daniels showed up at LSU after 3 years as a college quarterback at 170 pounds. Randall Cunningham's listed at 212. Jaden Daniels was a freshman in high school and weighed 130 pounds. I would imagine that was not what Cunningham weighed as a freshman. So there's really not a comparison between the slenderness. Now, if his point is Cunningham was 6'4 and 210 and it worked, okay, sure.
Yeah, he was thought of as a slighter player, right? Tall, thin. I mean, he was beyond flexible. The number of times that you go, oh, he's on the ground, and then somehow he'd like touch the ground with his pinky and then bounce back up and still go and complete a pass against Washington and break my heart.
Everybody thinks, though, because Jaden Daniels weighed in at 210 at his pro day or combine.
That's what he's playing at, which is wrong.
He's not going to play at that.
No.
That's what he basically ballooned up to. It's not like me just going to fast food in the middle of the night. But that is the heaviest he could get to weigh in for it to not be a concern.
All the creatine.
Wait till you start playing and you go to practice where you lose 6 pounds in a day in August. You're not going to be playing at 210. I just saw a report on what the Giants tried to do to trade up. Crazy. We'll give it to you next on G&D.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.